morning, I'll have you stand for the reading of God's Word. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 4 this evening. Romans, chapter number 4. And then when you found your place there, if you'd also place a marker in Genesis, chapter number 12. We'll read from Romans, chapter number 4 first, and then we'll hop over to Romans, chapter number 12. And that'll be where we stay for the remainder of our time tonight. While you're finding your place there, I want to say that during the shaking hands time, my wife and my mom and my sisters were talking about two-minute warnings. You know, there's a two-minute warning in football, the fourth quarter when they're about to finish. And so if you see my wife and the girls on that row going like this tonight, that's my two-minute warning. So Romans chapter number 4, we'll begin our reading in verse number 13, and we'll read down through verse number 22. The Bible says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now, let's go over to Genesis chapter number 12, and this is where we'll stay for the remainder of our message this evening. Just read a few verses here in Genesis chapter number 12. I'll let everybody find their place. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to stand and preach your word. God, you know as well as I that I am far, far beyond inadequate for the task that is set before me. God, it is above me. And the only way that I can accomplish this is if you would hide me behind the cross and fill me with your power and your spirit. God, we would be naive to think that in a room this size, there are not people that are struggling and hurting with different things. And God, you know my heart. You know that I desire to be a blessing and an encouragement to them. But God, I can only do that if you'll preach through me tonight. And I pray that you would do just that. God, be with the remainder of our service. Be with the next preacher as he's yet to preach. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For truly, thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we begin our reading in Romans chapter number 4, Paul begins to speak a little bit about the faith of Abraham. We all, of course, know of Abraham and the great journey that Abraham had in his journey of faith. And Paul makes statements like this. He says in chapter 4, verse number 19, "And being not weak in faith." And then in chapter number 4 again, in verse number 20, he says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Verse 21, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Abraham is known as the father of faith. This passage speaks of the great faith that Abraham possessed. Some commentators have said that he is considered to be the father of faith for several reasons. Just a couple to note would be, number one, that he was the most faithful man in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus. The entirety of Abraham's life was led following in the faith of the God that he claimed to love and the God that he claimed to serve. But not only is he considered to be the father of faith because he was the most faithful man in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus, but secondly, because he underwent perhaps the greatest trial in sacrificing Isaac. Now, that is just the commentator's beliefs. I believe that we could formulate our own opinions about why we believe that Abraham is considered to be the father of faith. But one thing remains true, and that is that Abraham was a man of great faith. Faith is defined in the dictionary as fidelity to one's promise or belief and trust in and loyalty to God. If you were to outline the life of Abraham, you could do so like this. Number one, Abraham finding faith in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. And then we move from Abraham finding faith when God calls him out of the land that he is dwelling in to Abraham following by faith, Genesis chapter 13 all the way through chapter number 24. And then thirdly, we find Abraham finishing in faith in Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 through 8, as Abraham passes off the scene. Tonight, with just a few moments that I have remaining, I want us to examine this journey of Abraham's faith together and see what the Lord might have us to learn from it. First of all, I want you to notice with me the beginning of Abraham's faith. I call your attention back to Genesis chapter number 12 in the first verses. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house," watch this, "unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So here we see the beginning of Abraham's faith. You say, what makes this a step of faith? Well, did you catch what the verse first said there? It said, "unto a land that I will show thee." When God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees where he was at, God did not reveal to Abraham where he was going. He says, "Abraham, I want you to pack up, I want you to take your family, and I want you to leave this place and go into a land that I will show thee." Now let's think for a moment the kind of position that this puts Abraham in. This is where he spent his entire life. It was a land that was seeped in idolatry, and so perhaps Abraham wanted to get out. But let's just think for a moment that now Abraham has to sit down at the dinner table with his wife and say, "Sarah, listen, we got to go." And Sarah says, "Okay, well, where are we going?" And Abraham says, "Well, that's just the thing. I have no idea." And so we see, first of all, there's a formidable revelation. The word formidable means to cause fear or dread. Now, we've already stated that Abraham was a great man of faith, but I believe that even the greatest man of faith would have some fear if God said, "I want you to go, and along the way, I'll reveal to you the steps of your journey." And so we see a formidable revelation in the call of Abraham. But secondly, I believe that through this, not only do we see a formidable revelation, but number two, we see a full reliance. Abraham is in zero control of everything that happens here. Abraham has no idea where he's going. He has no idea what's going to happen along the way. The only thing that Abraham knows is that he's supposed to go to a land that God will show him. You say, why would God tell Abraham to leave his home, his family, his friends, and everything that he's ever known to go to a place that he was going to show him? Because I believe that God was trying to teach Abraham full reliance on him. May I say to you tonight that there will be times in our Christian life where God will reveal possibly the end result of his will, but he'll not reveal to us the details along the way. What does that do? That teaches us full reliance
on God, because sometimes when we're in control, we tend to drift far and wide. We tend to go back and forth. But when God's in control, He's the one that's calling the shots. He's the one that's leading us along the way. So God was teaching Abraham full reliance on Him. That's the beginning of Abraham's faith. But then, let's keep in mind throughout the message tonight that Abraham was human just like you and I. And although Abraham was a man of great faith, Abraham struggled with sin just as you and I do. Not only do we see the beginning of Abraham's faith, but number two, we see the bumps of Abraham's faith. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And Abraham, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." It's interesting to me that every time the Bible says that somebody went to Egypt, they went down to Egypt. Of course, you know as students of your Bible that Egypt is a picture of the world. And nowhere in God's plan was it revealed that Abram was supposed to go to Egypt. He saw that there was a famine in the land, and he saw that it was very grievous, and he perhaps saw that Egypt was being blessed with food, and they had food there, so he decides to take a little detour and go to Egypt because he knows that he'll be provided for there. But that was not within the path that God had laid out for him. The bumps of Abram's faith, first of all, his detour from God's path. We've already talked about that. He went down to Egypt, but then another bump that he hits in his faith was his deception of Pharaoh. We know the story how they come to the land of Egypt, and the Bible says that Sarah was very fair to look upon, and the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he wanted Sarah for himself. And Abraham told Sarah, he said, "Before you go in, tell them that you're my sister. Because if they know that you're my wife, they're going to kill me so they can have you." And so we see that Abraham deceived Pharaoh by lying to him and telling him that Sarah was not his wife, but she was his sister. And we find that Pharaoh did just as Abraham thought that he was going to do. He took Sarah into his palace, but God revealed to Pharaoh that Sarah was not, in fact, Abraham's sister, but she was his wife. And God plagued Egypt because of what Pharaoh had done. And Pharaoh comes to Abraham and he says, "Why would you be dishonest with me? Why would you lie to me? You've brought shame and you've brought reproach and you've brought these plagues upon my house." Abraham did not trust that God was powerful enough to protect him while he was in a place that he should not have been in the start of it. So we see the bumps of his faith, his detour from God's path, his deception of Pharaoh, and then number three, his doubt of God's power. We all know the story. Genesis 17, verses 16 through 17 says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." This is God talking to Abraham. And he says, "Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Verse number 17, "Then Abram fell upon his face and did what? He laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" In other words, Abraham was in this moment saying, God, you know, he said in his heart, but we know that God knoweth the deepest matters of our hearts. And so in his heart, he's basically saying, God, I'm 100 years old, and my wife and I, we are beyond the ability to produce children. And you're saying that you're going to put my heir inside of her. That's not physically possible. And so here we find that Abraham begins to doubt God's power. And God has to remind Abraham that he is indeed in control. But the good thing about the story of Abraham is that Abraham recovers from the bumps in the road. And then we move from the beginning of Abraham's faith and to the bumps of Abraham's faith. And then third and lastly, we find the blessings of Abraham's faith. Chapters number 21 all the way through chapter number 25 speak about several different things that took place in Abraham's life. 25:7 is the close of Abraham's life. But from chapter number 21 all the way through chapter number 25, we see two things. First of all, we see a promise fulfilled. Everything that God said He was going to bring to pass, God did, and then some. Abraham was blessed with not one, but two children that would be great nations of both. God said, I will make a great nation of you, and any child that you have, I will make a great nation of. Ishmael was not supposed to be. That was Abraham and Sarah's plan against the will of God. But God, even in Abraham's disobedience, still fulfilled his promise by allowing Ishmael to form a nation of people. And of course, we know that Isaac was the promised son. He was the promised seed. And so from chapters 21 all the way through chapter 25, a promise is fulfilled. And then we see in chapter 25, verse number 8, a peaceful finish. The Bible says in chapter 25, verse number 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Although Abraham hit some bumps in the road, God was faithful, because we know that even in times in our life when you and I are not faithful and we might wobble on the axle, so to speak, that God never wavers from what that book says, and God will always be faithful. So what is the lesson that we learn from the life of Abraham tonight? As we've said, the focus of the sermon has been on faith. And I believe that we could all agree that faith is a necessary part, Pastor BJ, in order for us to live a successful Christian life. In fact, I would venture farther to say, as Paul did in the book of Hebrews, that without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I would ask you the question that I've asked myself in preparing this message tonight. In closing, what does your faith stand in need of tonight? Perhaps for some of you, you say, Preacher, the only time in my Christian life, as far as I can remember, is when I exercised faith by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But daily as I walk through this life, I find myself not being faithful to God. I find myself not living by faith. I'm scared that if I maybe give a little bit extra, that there's not going to be enough money for me and my family. And I'm scared that perhaps if I surrender to the full will of God, that I'll have to go to a country that I don't desire to go to. And perhaps you stand in need of a readying of your faith. You say, Preacher, I've never really exhibited faith like that. The only time that I've done that is putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I've never really given Him everything and have allowed Him to lead my life step by step. Perhaps you stand in need of a readying of your faith, but perhaps you're here tonight and you stand not in need of a readying of faith, but you simply stand in need of a recharging of faith. You say, Preacher, I can recall a time in my life when I was serving God. I was doing everything by the book. I was being obedient to what the Holy Spirit had said to me. But lately I found myself like Abraham, kind of on a pattern like this. Some days I'm faithful, some days I fall, and I'm not where I need to be with God. My faith is weakened, perhaps through circumstance or through a trial that you've encountered in your life. And perhaps you've come tonight and you stand in need of a recharging of your faith. My final statement tonight will be this: if you stand in need of a readying of faith, or whether you stand in need of a recharging of faith, I would encourage you tonight to get whatever it is that you need from the Lord, so that one day when it's all said and done, you can stand before God and be rewarded for your faith. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before God one day and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and know that in God's eyes, He saw that I did everything that I possibly could to be obedient to His will. What does your faith stand in need of tonight? Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. God, thank You that Your Word is filled with these men and women of the Bible that we can learn from. God, thank You for Abraham and the great example of faith that he is. God, I pray that whether we be here tonight and we stand in need of a readying of our faith, perhaps we have not yet begun to live by faith, but perhaps tonight would be the start of our life of faith. Or perhaps there's one here tonight that They've lived in faith for many years, but somewhere along the way they've gotten off kilter and they've gotten off track and they've begun to trust in themselves more than they trust in You, and they need a recharging of their faith. God, we've met tonight knowing that You know best, and God, we pray that Your will would be done. Lord, I pray that You would be with the remainder of this service, and for all that You'll do, we will be careful to praise You, for truly Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.